I think if I recall correctly, we're up to the Ramah in Seif Dalet. So we're going to just try to run through these different svaras here. Number one, says the Ramah, Had darishish matirin batel haimdavke me iser be'en. When is darishish matirin not batel if the iser is intact? Oshish adayim amoshah se iser b'tarobis. Or there's mamad, either the iser is not mixed at all, like, you know, it is five different states and each one is in its own place, or there's it's mixed up, but the substance of the iser is still in the tarobis. Many of the mefarshim and the Taz seems to assume this, and the Shach goes back and forth about this, assume that perhaps he means by ein mamash iser b'tarobis, that you didn't actually pour any iser into the tarobis. You just like cooked the darish ish latirin in your cholent and then took it out and some of the tam went in. So, yesh mamash iser b'tarobis means you actually poured some wine or some grape juice or something into the tarobis. Aval tam o batel, if it's just tam, it's batel. Okay, that's the first kula of the Ramah. First kula of the Ramah is tam b'alma is batel. If you don't actually have a piece of Davar Sheish Matirin, just a taste of Davar Sheish Matirin, that is batel. The mukar of this is, if you look at it, the Shach has a long discussion here in Sif Kut and Tess about the mukar of the Ramah. If you look at this right in the Ramah, it all goes back to Rabbeinu Tam. The Shach denies that Rabbeinu Tam said this. But if you look in the Sefer Yashar, it really seems Pashup Shad is this is really the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Certainly the Shita of a couple of Rishoni Ashkenaz. And the be'en of Davar Sheish Matirin is not batel, but just a tam is batel. What do we mean by just a tam? We're talking here about a tam of min b'mino pashtas, right? Min b'mino is usually what's not batel, right? So if you have a Davar Sheish Matirin min b'mino, and it's not real piece of Darish Matirin, just a tam bi'alma, then it is batel. Okay, this is a big chiddush. Even though if you look at the earliest Rishonim, it does seem to be this is Shibarina Tam, especially say for Yashar, it sounds this way. This is a big chiddush. What does the svar seem to be? The svar seems to be, I think the Taz says the svar nicely. The Taz says, hold on a second. If all you have is a tam, what are we talking about? We're talking about, obviously we're talking about less than a 60th, right? More than a 60th, there's no need for some kofigs. Any time it's more than a 60th, this trait nothing to do with the Yishlam Atirin and the Matirin. We're talking about less than a 60th. Less than a 60th is Asur and Yishlam Atirin, but if it's just a tam, then it is batel. So if it's less than a 60th, Davar Sheish Matirin will be batel, just like Davar Sheish Matirin. What seems to be the svara? The Taz says the svara very nicely. Right? Says the svara. Kevan de'eino rak tam bi'alma. It's only a tam bi'alma. Right? It's not actual piece of Davar Sheish Matirin. It's just a taste of Davar Sheish Matirin. And you can't even taste it. Right? It's not enough to give taste.
It's not a star, it's just a fact.
Ain't no klug. The ain't no sorry, that's a bitl. Kidei lahatiro. That's how the Taz explains the svar of the Ramah. He says, if we're dealing with just an absorbed taste, and it's too small to taste because it's less than a 60th, then just an absorbed taste that's too small to taste doesn't count. It doesn't exist at all. It's not even bittel. It just is nothing. It's not kosher enough to be anything. Because all it is that it's not a taste. So it's nothing. What's the other? You could have said, no, it's little molecules. And the little molecules are too small to taste, but they're still little molecules. And therefore you need bittel. And Davar Sheish Matirin, there's no bittel. Says Ramah, no, in this case, taste that you can't, that's too small to taste, doesn't exist.
I was under the impression that tam is batel even if it's more than 60th. But no, then I...
What, you mean al yitimus feila?
By Davar Sheish Matirin. It's only the ba'ain that's the problem.
That's exactly what the Ramah just said. You were under the impression you read the Ramah.
No, so he's only referring to when it's less than a 60th?
If it's more than a 60th, then it's usur, then it's never bottle. Bame the Darshish Lotu, Bame the Darshish Lotu. We're not going to be more makel than Darshish Lotu.
For Raji, you don't really have to comment on this necessarily. That it's Emo, sorry.
Rather?
You could just say that there's no Zilzal.
Correct. Okay. Correct. You could just say that in this case it's so unnoticeable that it doesn't seem like Zilzal Yisurin. Okay.
What about all the other things we've been dealing with the Chacham and the Yisurin? The Rosh Miskabe, very old things. What about the Tam?
The Tam is Pashat Batal. Meaning all the other things, Birya, Dabar, Chatingur, Liskabe, Pashat only the Ben is a problem. The Tam is Batal. Because a tam is not really liskabi, and a tam is not a birya. That goes without saying. The Chiddush Ramah is he takes the heter of tam from chatigur liskabi. The tam of chatigur liskabi is batal. Well, that's obvious because a taste that comes out of a steak is not really liskabi. You can't serve it to anyone. A tam of a birya is batal. A taste that comes out of the bug is batal. That's obvious. The taste is creature anymore. And he says the taste of the Rosh Yeshuatirin is batal. Why? Because a taste that's so small that it can be bottled doesn't exist. Lamaisa, this is a big machlokas. The Ramah holds that it's mutter. The Bach and the Shach. The Shach argues. He even goes so far as to say, although I'm not so convinced, that none of the Rishonim held like the Ramah. Even the late Rishonim, we all didn't hold the Ramah. Say it's Usser. Right? The Pnei Ari, quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, agrees with the Ramah that it's mutter. Halacha Lamaisa. Most of the Achronim seem to agree with the Shach and the Bach that there is no such kula, that when they were Gozer and Darshish Matirin, they were Gozer and Darshish Matirin, Bein Ta'am, Bein Mamoshos, and Pashas, we agree with the Bach and the Shach that there's no Heter of Ta'am, even the Ta'am of Darshish Matirin is still not, even the Ta'am of Darshish Matirin is still not Batal. I don't know if this comes up all the time, I must admit. But when trying to think of when this actually would come up, I can't think of a common scenario. That the Tam of the Darshish Matirin gets mixed in Min Mamino less than the 60th. And then you want to know, the Shach and the Bach would say, it's not bottled, Darshish Matirin. Narman, the Pnei Ari, quoting the Pesach Tshuva, would say, it is bottled. Lamaisa, and even though what Zev said is correct, it could be we'll leave it at that because we want to cover some ground. The next kula of Rama, so versus Tam B'Alma is a machlokes Rama versus the Bach and the Shach, whether it's Bachel or Darshish Matirin. Then after Rama, he says V'chein im eini sura machlos atzmo batel. What's the second kula of Rama? If any surah was atzmo, it's bottom. Now, of course, any surah was atzmo generally means it's because of a tam, right? Well, it's something else or not because of itself, because it got a tam or something else. But this has nothing to do with the previous Ramah. Two totally different scenarios. Let's just make sure we have a shot. What are these two different scenarios? This is a case where I have, for example, a cholent, one cholent, with a little taste of a Darshish Matirin. What could be a Darshish Matirin thing that fell into my cholent? A Darshish Matirin egg. Right, we're talking in the realm of Bitalach Balach. The first Ramah was a Bitalach Balach, meaning taste of one thing went to another thing, right? I have a cholent, I cooked a cholent and had a couple of eggs, let's say I cooked eggs in the cholent. And the taste, there was one Darshish Matirin egg, one egg laid on Yontif. I cooked cholent on Yontif, right? Allowed to cook on Yontif. And I accidentally put in an egg that was laid on Yontif, that's Darshish Matirin. Or, you know, whatever else the case, I accidentally put in an apple. I cooked applesauce, and I hard-boiled a lot of eggs. And there was accidentally one egg that was laid on Yontif. Or I cooked applesauce, and there was one apple that fell off the tree on Yontif. Right? So the taste of that apple went into the other apples. The taste of that egg went into the other eggs. But it's 1 to 60. So if it was treif, I would say the taste is batel. Ah, but it's omishish lati renstar. Must says, ah, it's only a taste. It's batel. If I can find that egg and remove it, or find that apple and remove it, then the taste is batel. And the Shach Rabach would say, no, even the taste is not batel. This is a different case, Ein Yisur Machlos Atzmo. This is talking about bitul yavish v'yavish. What's it talking about? I have two pieces with no blia, and one piece with a blia of a darish yishlo matirin. Right, nothing to do with the previous Rama. I know they're both about like something I'm going to believe something else. But one is talking about where the tarobus is a little taste of the darish yishlo matirin goes into my food. The other is talking about where I have like three things, separate things, yavish v'yavish. Two of them are kosher, and one of them has a taste of darish yishlo matirin inside. Like, for example, what's an example? Chen imeini sur machos atzom batzol. Chen chaticha shlo nimcha tok shlo shayyamin. Afa pi sheish omen imeki dover sheish to matirin. Ho well, muteris litzli. Afilu hachi betela de eini sur amachos dam ha ba luava. What does he say here? There's a chomer of the Gaonim. It's an interesting halacha. It has no mocker in Shas. It's just a masorah from the Gaonim. Everyone knows basic Judaism. If you want to cook meat, what do you have to do first? You have to salt it. If you want to broil meat, then you don't have to salt it. Because tzli counts as malicha. Right? Without getting into all the details. So, the Gaonim had a Mesorah that's not found anywhere in Shas. That if you shech meat and you wait 72 hours before salting it, it's too late to salt. You have to salt within 72 hours. After 72 hours, the salt gets dried in, and the blood gets dried in and you can't get it out anymore. And that's our minhag. I mean, in regular factories, they salt the meat 10 minutes after it's shechted. Right? It's like a factory. You never leave anything sitting around for days. Right? You sheft the meat and you'd like a couple hours later it to already be shrink-wrapped and in the trucks ready to deliver it. Right? But, theoretically, let's say you had a, you know, slow operation. You'll say, oh, let me just check this meat now, and I'll go away for vacation, come back 4 days later and salt it. Nope, it's too late to salt it then. So what happens to meat that you forgot to salt for three days? You can't salt it and cook it anymore. You have to broil it. You have to grill it. Right, roast it. Because roasting always gets out the blood, because it's much stronger than salting. Okay, this used to be a big issue in Israel. It used to be one of the big controversies in Israel. It's called basar kafu, frozen meat. What was the big controversy? That they used to chef, they still do, but they still do this part. They used to chef most of the meat in South America. They still do. Not chicken. Chicken is all local, to the best of my knowledge. But most of the meat they sell in Israel is from South America. It's just economically, it works better to raise the cows in South America. It's a very nice place to raise cows. It's very much in for raising cows. They raise all the cows in South America. They shech them in South America. You're not going to ship live cows on a boat. That's a prohibitive, right? Hey, the most economical way to sell meat in Zolde Gadol is to raise cows in South America, shech them in South America, freeze them, put them on a boat to Israel, and sell them in Israel. That's where most of the meat in Israel comes from. In the old days, they used to shecht it in South America and salt it in Israel. And, of course, freeze it. If you shipped it on a boat from South America without freezing it.
That's the whole halacha.
I know. And they used to shech in South America, of course freeze it to put it on the boat, and then thaw it out in Israel and salt it. And the Iker HaDin, most poskim say, that's still, and it took 6 weeks to get here on the boat, or however long. The Iker HaDin, the poskim say, well, when something's salted, the clock is frozen, it doesn't count, and it's still within 72, sorry, when something's frozen, it still counts within 72 hours. Because when it's frozen, nothing happens. That's the whole chop of freezing, right? The whole chop of freezing is that it's hot. Nothing changes as long as it's frozen. So therefore, if they waited 5 hours, froze it, then thawed it and waited another 12 hours, it's only been 17 hours. Less than 3 days, you can solve it in smutter. And the Mahadran were machmir for the Achronim, who were machmir, said, no, 72 hours, chok v'lo yavor, it doesn't matter if it's frozen, still needs to be within 72 hours. Therefore, the Machmirim wouldn't buy basar kafu, because then it would be usur to cook. And the ikra dim is you can buy basar kafu. Nowadays, that doesn't exist anymore because they changed the way they do things. Now, they sheft it in South America, and an hour later, they salt it in South America, and then they put it in the package and freeze it and send it to us, and it is no longer a halachic shaila. Okay, so nowadays, this is not a common shaila that comes up. But the Rama says, what if you have this case? You have three pieces of meat. One of them, or you have 100 pieces of meat, doesn't matter. One of them went for 3 days without salting. And the other 99 were salted right away. So, or the better case. One of them, it's been 3 days, and the other 99, it's only been 1 day, and now you want to salt them all. Right? So, he says, you might think this is called Dover Sheesh Matir, and why? Because even though one of them is unsaltable, and the others are saltable, the one that's unsaltable, how is it Yeshla Matirin? Because you can still roast it, right? You can't make meatballs or pot roast or cholent, but you can grill it on the barbecue. So you might say it's not batel. Now you have to roast them all. Rama says, no, it's still batel because it's not, doesn't have the Dovah Sheesh Matirin, because the meat's not usher because of itself. It's only usher because of the blood inside it. Right? This is, what's an example? The example is 99 pieces of regular meat and one piece that went 72 hours without meatball. Right? So even though it's Dovah Sheesh Matirin, you could just put them all in the barbecue and grill them. Still, he says it's batel because it's not otzer machmas atzmo. The Achronim point out that another example would be what we had earlier in the, what we had earlier in this simon. What if you have 99 regular pots and one pot, right, 99 regular pots, and one pot with a trefuya, even if you say that, right, we had this one of the reasons we make it. Even if you say it's called Dovah Sheesh Matirin because you can kasher it, but the pot's not usher because of itself, it's only usher because of the bli inside it. So if you want to point out, the Rama could have been makel there for this reason also. That's the kula of the Rama. That's the reading inside. A piece of meat that wasn't salted for 3 days, even though some people say it's called Dovah Sheesh Matirin because you could roast it, Filo hachi betela, it's still batel de nisur el machazdam lubak. It's only also because of bliya, not because of what's in itself.
Let's say it was within 3 days.
If it was within 3 days, I mean one piece of unsalted meat and a lot of pieces of salted meat, right? So then, what about one piece of unsalted meat and a lot of pieces of salted meat, right? So do you have to salt them all? Is that Dovah Sheesh Matirin that you have to salt them all? So the Rama would say it's not Dovah Sheesh Matirin, which is only also because of the salt inside it. But everyone might agree in that case because it costs money for the salt, right? You have to spend money on the salt, not to mention the tircha. Now, yeah.
Meaning this situation is not any better than the original situation. Meaning what if you're gonna. The bigger finish is in the case where it's not. Where it's within 3 days and you fix all of it. Because then you have more options of what to do. I mean, that's a more of a Dovah Sheesh Matirin.
That's an interesting ka'ara. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. They're not going out of the way to tell you, oh, Dafka, after 3 days, can you roast it even if within 3 days and get rid of the salt?
That's a good ha'ara. Meaning, why couldn't you set a bigger chiddush? I'm not sure. It's a good question.
I don't understand this part.
Can you explain it again? The fact that it's not intrinsically part of the meat, it's like an external,
it's part of the blood, something.
Yes, but I haven't explained the svar. Right? So, here, This svar of the Ramah is very unclear. As a matter of fact, the Shach and the Taz jump on the Ramah and say we don't understand the svara. Who cares if this piece of meat is usher because of itself or because it has blood inside? L'maisa, you're relying on bittul, right? You have three pieces of meat, and you're pretending they're all kosher when only two of them are kosher, right? So this, the svar is a little unclear. What's the svar of this Ramah? Unclear. The Shach and the Taz can't figure out the svar of the Ramah. You have three pieces of meat. You're ignoring one of the three pieces of meat. What can, that's relying on bittul. You're being mevatel one of the three pieces of meat, or one of the 100 pieces of meat. How can you be mevatel darish yesh matirin? I don't care. Who cares if it's a darish yesh matirin because of itself, or it's a darish yesh matirin because of what's inside it? That's their kasha on the Ramah. Now, the... how do you defend the Ramah? So the truth be told is, how would Wagner defend the Ramah? Okay, Wagner's a long distance feller, no? He might say, the Ramah, you can defend the Ramah based on the Ran. You could say, in this case, there's nothing that really has matirin. The meat is mutter all along, and the blood is usher all along. There's nothing that's yesh lo matirin here. The meat is mutter, the blood is usher. You want to tell me you can get the blood out of the meat? That's not muttering anything. That's just separating things. Isn't that what you would have said, Wagner?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's not what most Dechron say. but I thought maybe you could say that's shot in the Ramah. Svar is unclear. The one possibility is, maybe you could say that formally, nothing has matirin. The meat is mutter forever. The dam, the blood, is usher forever. And this is not called matirin. Again, from a Rashi perspective, it's called matirin. You have a way around it. But from a Ran perspective, I'd say they're not called matirin. What do you mean matirin? Sometimes you have ways of getting the blood out of the meat, sometimes you don't have ways of getting the blood out of the meat. But you're never matter anything. Right? Okay, the Rav held that Melissa was a matter, but that's not the mainstream assumption. That's not what the Grun Pnei Aryeh say. What the Grun Pnei Aryeh say is the Mekon Okenta. The Pnei Aryeh is in the Shidduk Mebetzes. They make an Okenta. What's their Okenta in this Ramah? Or actually, they don't make an Okenta. Let's start with this example. They say it's very posh. You know what the svar of the Ramah was? Okay. The Ramah meant cases where the blia is a different min than the chetza. Like the blood and the meat. Blood is one min, meat is a different min. And what was the svara of the Ramah? The svara of the Ramah was pashut. The svara is that dam in basar is min v'she'eno mino, and dover she'esh lamat tirin is batel min. That's how they explain the story of the Ramah. The story of the Ramah is that what's the tarovis here? The mixture is meat with blood mixed with meat without blood. Hold on. Meat with dam mixed with meat without dam, meaning you have dam mixed into a lot of meat. Dam and meat is mimishaino mino. Mimishaino mino is batel damishesh matirin. And that's the svara of the Ramah. It's just the case of Mimshaino Mino. They're reading a little in, because then the ikar is not that it's usher because of a bliya. That it's usher because of a bliya of a different min. But that's what they read into the Ramah. Lemaisa, okay, you can take whichever way of explaining the Ramah you like. Again, what Wagner explained the Ramah is he said, what the Rambam meant is, it's not really Darshish Matirin. There's a totally mutter thing with a bli of a totally usher thing. It's Darshish Lahafrada, but not Darshish Matirin, right? That's what you meant? Okay, and the Grand of the Aryeh say no. It's talking about a case where the bli is a different min from the carrier. And that's why it's bottle, because there's meat with dam, mixed with meat without dam. So it's just dam mixed with non-dam, dam mixed with non-dam, and the machine only knows bottle.
We had a tough time coming up with a case where something was balua from its same min.
That was Dovr Shish Lamatire. I mean, I could give you, if you really want, I could make up a scenario, right? I have an egg that was cooked together with an egg laid on Yontif. But it wasn't laid on Yontif, mixed with regular eggs. So okay. The egg is, okay. You know, or something weird like that. Okay. I get that.
So did you, what was the example?
The Pnei Aryeh would say that's not included in the Ramazan.
Right, right.
I have a lot of eggs, and one of them was laid yesterday, but was cooked previously with an egg that was laid on Yontif. So there's a blia of Dabar Sheish Lamatirin. Okay, I mean, it's not a common thing to happen.
Even if we'll use Baruch HaFrada, that's the word.
Correct, exactly. Precisely. Lemaisa, how do we paskin the... How do we paskin the... the Ramah and the Pnei Aryeh, in this case, say Mutter, the Shah and the Taz say Usser. Lemaisa, not so clear. I don't know that it happens all the time. As a matter of fact, I don't know if it ever really happens. But not so clear how we would go on the psak of this. The Shach points out, though, that what's already hinted in the Ramah, and this is a big yisod, it's a very important yisod, what's hinted in the Ramah about this case of the meat after 3 days? What's hinted in the Ramah? What does the Ramah say? If it's only usher because there's something else inside of its bottle. Even though some people say it's the realm of Darshish Matirin since you could roast it, nonetheless it's bottle because it's not usher machmas atzmo. What's the hint of Rabbah?
The fact that you have to do maisa to be matir is still
considered Darshish Matirin. Or, hint. Yesh omrim that is called Darshish Matirin. Obviously, what are other people, Omrim? That it's not even the realm of Darshish Matirin in the first place, right? That's the hint. Some people say, we can talk about Darshish Matirin, and then I bring in my Chiddush of Eino Neser Machmas Atzmo. But, obviously, other people think it's not even the ballpark of Darshish Matirin. So how about this? Yesh lo Matirin al Yedei Tzli. Yesh lo Matirin al Yedei Tzli. Is this called Yesh lo Matirin in the first place? So clearly we have here a machlokus, right? Yesh omrim it is. Ramah's not clear if we hold like that Yesh omrim or not. The Pisri Chuveir, I think, brings down. He has long details here, which we don't have time to get into. But he brings down someplace here. 1 second. At the end of Sivkatan Ches, he brings down a tshuva me'ava, that who are the osrim? The rip and the tshuva me'ava, that's the Talmud of Yehuda quoted in the Pesli tshuva, say yes. Why? Pasha, you can be matrel de tzli. It's treif to cook, meaning if you want to make meatballs, you can't. You want to make... You want to make cholent, you can't. You want to make pot roast, you can't. But you can make a barbecue. So that's Yesh lo Matirin. However, the Shach right here quotes himself from Hilchos Melicha, says that it's not called Yesh lo Matirin in the first place. And the Pisri Tshuva at the end of Sivkatan Ches quotes from the Achronim and the Noda Behuda and the Megadim. I'll pee the other Rishonim. who's saying no. Why? This is a big yisod, says the Shach. Why does the Shach say this is not even the realm of she's material in the first place? I mean, the Shach says, I don't like the Ramah's head to make a Netzer Machos Apso, but it's mutter anyway, because it's Ein Lo Matiri. Right? So the Shach, he paskins like the Ramah, the Lav Mitame, not for the reason of the Ramah. The Ramah says you have this mixture of me, mutter, because Eino Nefs, Eino Osir Machos Atzmo, so it's bottle. Shach says, no, I have a different reason it's bottle. I don't like your Nefsir Machos Atzmo. Shach, the reason it's bottle is because Eino Matirin. Why does the Shach think Eino Matirin? What's his Yisod?
Because it has to become Mila, it has to become like.
No, that was the Marshal. The Shach did not agree. Because. Exactly! Yesh lo matirin means I could do something and then it'll be totally mutter to me lagamri. What is the what is the svara of the Shach here? The svara is that. Li'olam ein. Eino meter. Le'echol mevushal. I can never eat it cooked. I want to eat it cooked. I want to make cholent. I want cholent meat. I want to make cholent. Or I want meatballs. I want to make meatballs. I like to eat it cooked. Ein lo matirin. The fact that I can eat it barbecued, but I don't want to eat it barbecued. If I want to eat it barbecued, I would have asked the rabbi. I would have just barbecued it and shine. Obviously, I'm asking the rabbi Shaila because I'm interested in cooking it. I can never eat it cooked. I'm stuck eating it roasted. What if I don't like roasted meat? What if I like cooked meat? That's not called Yesh Lo Matirin. Yesh Lo Matirin means I do something, and then it's 100% mutter for everything. If it's only mutter one way, but not another way, that's not called Yesh Lo Matirin. That's the principle of the Shach. If I have to do something, and then it becomes totally mutter, like regular food, that's Yesh Lo Matirin. If it's mutter to use in way X, but usher to use in way Y, that's called Ein Lo Matirin. There's no way to matter it for all uses. That's the chaf of the Shach here. That's something which becomes, which is partially mutter is not called Yesh Lo Matirin. Only something is if you do something, it becomes totally mutter. It's called Yesh Lo Matirin. Obviously, at a certain point, this becomes a matter of how you describe it, which is a matter of judgment call. You'll say back to the Shach, no, these are Yesh Lo Matirin. Once you roast it, it is totally mutter to eat. The Shach will say, no, it's only mutter to eat roasted. It's usher to eat cooked. And that's Ein Lo Matirin. Okay, I admit that reasonable people could just have judgment calls and evaluate these things differently, but this is an important yisod of the Shach. Where does this come from? This comes from Machlokes, we'll see in Siman Kuf Ches, from the Rif and the other Rishonim. What if something has, we mentioned this before, 1% milk in it? The Rif says, Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. I can eat it without meat. Right, I have 1% milk falls in my 1% milk falls into my rice. So what do they compare this? They compare this to the machlokas, similar to the machlokas about what about rice with 1% milk? Right, says the Rif, Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, eat it at a milchik meal. Right? That's called Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Eat it at a milchik meal. Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is not bottle. The Rif would say if you have rice and a drop of milk falls in your rice, it's not bottle. You have to eat it at a milchik meal. Why? Yesh Lo Matirin. And the other Rishonin would say bottle. Because li'olam asur lechol in basar. What do you mean? Ein lo matirin. There's no way to matter this so I can eat it with my fleishig meal. I cooked rice because I wanted to have rice with my chicken. Right? If I wanted to have rice with my cheese, then I wouldn't have asked your shayla, Rabbi. I asked your shayla because a little milk filled my rice and I was planning to eat it with my chicken. Ein lo matirin. Yes, it's mutter if I eat it with a milchig meal, but there's no way to make it totally mutter to eat with whatever I want. This is the Acharonim assume this is a parallel machlokas. The Chuv Me'ava assumes a parallel machlokas. Says, look, a Rif, it's got to be usher. And the other Acharonim assumes a parallel machlokas. They say, look, most Rishonim disagree with the Rif, so it's mutter, right? What the machlokas here is, there's a mutter way to eat it, but there's no way to make it mutter to eat however I want. The Shach and most Acharonim, the mainstream Shach is like the Shach, and it's mutter. Right? That's not called the Yesh Lamatirin because there's no Eid of Matar doing whatever I want. And we saw that earlier in the Ramah. What did the Ramah say? Well, not in the Ramah, but in the Shach, Lashitase. The Shach says, if a little milk falls into my parif, it's still parif. That's exactly, the Ramah did not say that explicitly, but that's the Shach Lashitase. Right? That's the Shach Lashitase. The Shach says, that's called Ein Lamatirin. Because there's no way to matter it to eat however I want. Well, the Rif says that's Yesh Lamatirin, because there's a much better way to eat it. Okay, that's a very, very fundamental machlokas, and we seem to pass in Lakula.
Doesn't the Rif like cut out like so many cases anytime we talk about something falling into something parv and being vada?
I mean, it hardly ever talks about that in Shas. The one place it talks about in Shas, that's how the Rif explains it.
He explains that it is.
Basically, there's only one place this might be talked about in Shas, and the Rif explains that one place, the Sugya Recha Milsa, based on his principle. And the other, basically, it's a question of Recha Milsa. What's the problem? The problem is this. We seem to paskin the smell of something is batal. Right? If the smell of pork goes into my meat, it's batal, it's mutter. Yet, there's maybe Rav Ashi or someone, says if the smell of meat goes into bread, it's kleshik. So the question was why. So everyone else had a different answer. And the Rif said, smell is batal, but the smell of kleshik and parv isn't batal, it's dover sheish lamatirin. And that's exactly the machlokas. Do you say a tarovus of meat and parv, or milk and parv, is dover sheish lamatirin, Rif? Or all the other Rishonim said other things, which is why the Shach and Rov Achronim say all the Rishonim disagree with the Rif, and we say we paskin that meat that cannot be cooked is batal in regular meat, not because there are Ramah's reason, but because it's Ein Lamatirin, so there's no way to matter it to be normal food. And likewise, we paskin milk is batal in pariv, milk is batal in rice, even though you could eat it at a pariv or milchig meal. Because there's no way to matter to be regular food, to be regular rice. That's called Ein Lamatirin. Yesh Lamatirin means you could just do something and turn it into regular neutral food. Over here, you can't do something to make it neutral food. You can just eat it one way and not the other way. If you could eat it one way and not the other way, we pass, that's called Ein Lamatirin. Likewise, we'd say if there's a mixture of, let's say, truma, we don't say that's called Dovash Yesh Lamatirin because you could feed it to a kohen. No! Ein Lamatirin, because you can't feed it to everyone like normal food. Okay. The next part of the Ramah is, that was two parts of the Ramah. Next Kula's Ramah, number three. Says the Ramah, Kol Isser Shlohayan Nikr Kodim Shinis Arev, Havi Batal Afish of Dovashesh Lamatirin. Any Isser that was never intact before it got mixed in, meaning the Isser was born already mixed. It's a rare case. The issue was born already mixed. Then we don't apply the Chumar Dovash Yesh Lamatirin, and we say it is batel. Okay, Rabbi Kiva Eger points down that he thinks Tosos does not agree with this, and he thinks the Ran doesn't agree with it, but Lamai said the Achronim accept the Ramah here. But the third school of the Ramah? What's his Lashon? Isser Shelo Hayanikr Kodim Shinis Arev. Another way the Achronim express this is Nolan the Tochat Haruv. That's right, the Isser only started when it was already mixed. It wasn't Usser and then got mixed. It only became Usser while it was mixed. Is Batel Afalpi Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Here the Ramah says Mutter. Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests Usser. But nonetheless, the main Shira Achronim assume like the Ramah, because the Ramah quotes an explicit Mordechai and some other Rishonim. Rabbi Kiva Eger is based on Diyukim and is not so Pashat. What's an example of this? The example of this, the original example they have of this, again, this is not something that's likely to happen in everyday life, I admit. What's an example of this? Again, classic Dovash Yesh Lamatirin is Muktzah or, you know, things like that. An example of this would be, let's say I have grapes on Shabbos. The grapes are perfectly mutter, right? I mean, I picked them Friday. I bought them in the store on Friday. Grapes are totally mutter. What if some grape juice squeezed out of the grapes? What would be in that grape juice? Anyone? It would be nolad, or mashkin shezavu is a whole sugya and mishnayis about it, and it would be mutzah darshish matir and also to eat till after Shabbos. So here's the case that they all dealt with. What if I have, again, in the old days, not going to come nowadays, I have a barrel of grape juice, and I accidentally drop some grapes inside it, and they split open, and I drop some grapes inside it, they split open, or God dropped some grapes inside, and I don't know, somehow I close the lid, and I split them open, and the grape juice of those grapes mixes into my big barrel of grape juice. Now, 1/1000th of my grape juice is mukta grape juice, davar sheish matirin. So you might think my whole grape juice is usar tol havdala, because davar sheish matirin has 0.01% mukta grape juice. The answer is no. When did this grape juice become mukta? When it left the grape and mixed into the regular grape juice. Meaning it was never mukta in and of itself and then fell in. If I had a cup of mukta grape juice and then accidentally poured it in, that would be davar sheish matirin. I can't drink it all till after Shabbos. I can't drink anything till after Shabbos. But over here, it only became mukta when it was already bottled. Since it only became mukta when it was already bottled, the chumra of davar sheish matirin doesn't apply. That's the case that the Rishonim discussed. I don't know, there might be. It's a big discussion of other cases like this.
Was it bottled? It wasn't.
And it's a, what? Assume it's less than a 60th, right?
But the Kiddushes that were saying that it was
bottled. Kiddushes that would say it's bottled, even though it's davar sheish. Why? Because it became bottled from the very moment that it was usher.
Oh, no, but it wasn't usher when you dropped the grapes.
When I dropped the grape, it wasn't usher. It's grapes are mutter, right?
The Kiddush is that the grapes are bottled.
No, the grapes aren't bottled. The grapes are nicker. Kiddush is when the juice seeps out of the grape. As soon as a drop of juice seeps out of the grape, it becomes mukta, but at the same second it becomes mukta, it's also batel. So therefore, we say that davar sheish matirin is batel in this case. There's a whole discussion we're not going to get into. The beginning of your day, chelek aleph, what about this fascinating case discussed by the Achronim? What if I have two cows, a mother and a baby, and the mother cow mixes into the herd and I don't know what she is? And then I shech the baby cow. Now, the mother is usher to shech that day, because the most of it has been open. So, she's not here, shech tomorrow. So, is my whole herd usher to shech that day? So, some of the Achronim say, no, the whole herd is mutter to shech that day. There's one davar sheish matirin cow, but it doesn't matter. It was never davar sheish matirin and then got mixed in. It got mixed in first before it was davar sheish matirin, and therefore it's bottled. Okay, that's another application that the Achronim say in Hilchos Osov Yisbeno. Again, I'm not claiming this is something likely to happen all the time. I guess another example of this could be, although also this would be a very, very weird case, right? Okay, this is going to be too weird of a case, forget it. So in this case, if it was not usher first and then mixed, but it was mixed from the very beginning, then there's no chumra of davar sheish matirin, and then it's bafel. That's the kula of the Ramah. Okay, the svar is not so clear. If you say it's all because of zilzul b'isur, it's a little easier. If it was never usher first and then mixed in, it doesn't seem like such a zilzul to eat it. Okay, then you can get fancier, but not for now. Next Ramah says, Misha nadami davar echad b'nis'ari v'charkach. Someone made a neder on something and then it got mixed together. What's the diuk? Why does it say Nisariv Achar Kach? Why not Nisariv Lefnei Kain? What? Because of the previous Ramah.
Right.
Right. Meaning, if something got mixed and then I made a neder against it, then it's bottled. So I made the neder, it was already mixed. Right? If, I don't know, let's say I make a neder against, you have to come up with a good example of something that got mixed, and then I made the neder. I make a neder against milk from your farm. And I already bought from the supermarket Tsunuba milk, which is milk mixed together from all the farms in the area. So it's like 1/100th milk from your farm. So I have a carton of milk in my fridge, which has a little milk from your farm, and then I make a neder, I'm not drinking any milk from your farm. So that case, Pasha would be mutter. Why? Because it wasn't usher first and then got mixed in. The minute I said it was Osir, it was already mixed in. If it's already mixed in from the very beginning, then there's no Chomer Dorish Yishma Tira. And that's why there are Muslim Dayak, as Aaron pointed out. If I first make a neder on the milk from your farm, and then it gets mixed in with other milk, then I'm in trouble. Right? If Tnuva, again, I don't know what Tnuva really does. But let's assume Tnuva, maybe they combine all the, I don't know if they really do this, but who cares. Or, better example, I make a neder of the milk from one cow. For sure, Tnuva combines all the cows on the dairy farm together in each carton. Right? So there's a dairy farm, and I really don't like this cow. I'm so mad at this cow, I make a neder never to drink milk from this cow. So, if I already have a carton of milk in my fridge, that's fine. Because the moment I made the neder, it was already mixed. If it was mixed from the very beginning, it's bottled. That's the previous line that I bought. But what if next week I want to buy milk? Right? There's some kibbutzim, by the way, where they drink the milk from their own kibbutz. Right? And kibbutz, what's that kibbutz called? I spent Shabbos there once. Next to Sa'ad. What kibbutz is next to Sa'ad? Yes, Alumim. And kibbutz Alumim. That's where I think Rabbi Kula is the rabbi there.
It's a good name.
What?
It's a good name.
Yeah, I think my impression is that he lives up to it. He's a father, he's a famous Rabbi Kula from New York, who my impression is also lives up to it, but I'm not commenting. This is Rabbi Amit Kula, I think, is the Rabbi Balumim, if I'm not mistaken, the kibbutz. He's a father of Irwin Kula from New York, who's involved with an organization called Klal, I believe. How do I know all this? Because the milk they serve there says milk of kibbutz whatever, and the shkach of the rabbi whatever, and they drink their own milk. So I live on that kibbutz, and I make a neder for the milk of one cow, because I hate that cow, because it kicked me, and I had to go to the infirmary, and I'm limping for a week, and I didn't even get a name change out of it, and so I make a neder never to drink milk from that cow. Next week I get a carton from the kitchen. It has, I checked, there are 200 cows in the refit. So it's 0.5% milk from that cow. Not butzel, I can't drink any milk from the whole meshek. Because not butzel, as you said, someone makes a neder or something and then it gets mixed afterwards. Lidi day mikri dover sheish matirin. For him it's called a dover sheish lo matirin. Daha esher lishol al nidro, because he can do she'ela. She'ela is what we never call it she'ela. Nowadays, in modern day jargon, we call it hataras nedarim. You can always do hataras nedarim. Since you can do hataras nedarim, that's called the dover sheyesh lo matirin. That is an interesting question. You'll say, maybe I won't be able to be matir the neder. So it could be the Gemara addresses this. The Gemara actually says, the Piskei Tshuva here, has a long discussion again. I'll just summarize it, basically. It says the Piskei Tshuva, he says that the Gemara says, do you know why neder is dover sheyesh lo matirin? Because it's a mitzvah to be matir neder. I think we mentioned this once. Remember, someone makes a neder as if they built a bama, and someone who keeps the neder is as if they were a karma on the bama, which is a big avera. What does it mean you shouldn't keep your neder? It doesn't mean you should violate your neder. Chazal then, you should be matter your neder. So since the mitzvah to be matter the neder, Chazal commanded you to be matter the neder, therefore the Torah sheikh shalat here. Maybe the reason that it says that in the Gemara is to address Zeb's question. Who says the yadah to be matter the neder? The answer is, if it's a mitzvah to be matzah the neder, then the benzim will find a way to be matzah the neder, and you don't have to worry, it's considered to be the yadol. Okay, there's an afkamina from this. If neder is called, the afkamina is going to be obvious, right? What's an afkamina? Neder equals dover sheyesh lo matirin. Why? Because mitzvah, it's shuli alei, if I can use the Aramaic, it's a mitzvah to do she'ela through a taras nedarim. Right? Why don't they just say, like, the Ramak is efshir to do a taras nedarim? Either because, according to Marshal, something's only called dover sheyesh lo matirin if it's mutar memela, and a mitzvah counts as memela. Or, because what Zev said, you might say it's not biyada. Who said I'll have a Pesach and a Charata? The answer is, if it's a mitzvah to be matir, then Bez Din will for sure find a Pesach and Charata. Okay. The nafkamina is, what if I make a neder that it's not a mitzvah to be matir? Anyone ever heard of a neder that's not a mitzvah to be matir? No? Right, how about a neder of Dvar Isser to keep away from Isser? A neder? A neder if I'm annoyed at the cow, so I make a neder not to drink its milk. It's a mitzvah and a matzah. Don't be an idiot. Or the classic Adarim they made in the time of Chazal. What were classic Adarim they made in the time of Chazal? I'm angry at my wife, I made a neder not to get hand off from her. I'm angry at my neighbor, I make a neder not to get hand off from him, etc., etc. That's a mitzvah and a matzah, those kind of Adarim. I'm showing off my friends. Ah, I'm so tough. I walk barefoot in the snow and neder. I'm not going to be able to get an off from shoes. Okay, that kind of shtus is a mitzvah matter. But sometimes people make a neder for a dvar iser. Like the Pesach Shabbos Gaz guy says, a neder, this gets a little tricky, but a neder, I'm not going to eat treif. Okay, it's a little tricky whether or not it's chal, right? That's the whole discussion there. Or a neder to keep themselves away from iser. I don't know, a guy has a problem with certain things, makes a neder to keep away from it. So this can happen all the time. The Gemara talks about how in certain cases, a certain kohen and certain woman is a little suspect, whatever, he's making a neder not to get an off from her. Right? The married grusha, he's no neder not to get an off from her. That way he'll stay away from the grusha, whatever the case may be. So, what about a neder to keep yourself away from Isser? Or neder be'is tzara? Right? What happens? Someone's in trouble and they say, Hashem, when you save me, I'll give $1 million to tzedakah. How do we know that's a good kind of neder to make? Yaakov Avinu, right? Nodim be'is tzara. So there are nedarim, which it's not a mitzvah to be matur, it's a mitzvah to be mekayim, those nedarim. Obviously, that would be very silly to say, the guy's stuck, he's captured by Islamic State, says, Hashem, if I get out, I'm going to give $1 million to tzedakah. No one would say, once he gets out, he should be matur his nether and not give $1 million. That would seem awfully irreligious. Or a guy says, his Rebbe told him that iPhones are so terrible, so makes a neder not to get enough from the iPhone because they just bring lots of Yisurim. Okay? So without getting into politics or Hashkafa, one could easily have a scenario where you could say that's a neder that's not a mitzvah to matter. Or they also do shvuas. It might not be a mitzvah to matter shvua, because shvuas have to be taken more seriously. So says the Pesach Teshuva without getting into all of Hilchos Nedarim now. You have to get into all of Hilchos Nedarim. These are very complicated shilas. I once had a terribly complicated shilas about being matur shua. But even though the answer is we don't. Okay, the answer is it depends. Lemaisa says the Pesach Teshuva, according to the Achronim, it depends what kind of neder. A neder that it's a mitzvah to be matur is yesh lo'atirin. A neder that it's a mitzvah to keep is called the dorsha ein lo'atirin, because it's a mitzvah to keep it. I know you could be matur, but it's a mitzvah to keep it. Therefore, it depends exactly what kind of neder it is. That's what the Pesach Teshuva, quoting all the Achronim, adds to the Ramah. Then he goes into lots of fascinating details about Yisrael, Israel, all kinds of other Levitic lundus, but we don't have time to get into it now. One other important diuk is what's the other diuk? Mishin nana midover echa v'nis arev acharkach. Lididei mikri davashish matirin. Daha efshar l'shalom nivro. What's the diuk? For him, it's a davashish matirin. But what about the following example? Right? Meaning in the time of Chazal, when people make stupid nedarim, it was 50-50. If I'm in a fight with Cherniak, I might say, Konam, that I'm never going to get hand off from you. And that would be a stupid neder that I should be matir, right? And that would be davashish matirin for me. If your food got mixed with other food, etc. The other thing I might say, Konam, you can't get hand off from me. Right? That was the other stupid thing they might say. So is that a Dover Sheish Matirin? So the Achronim, Pesach Teshuva, quotes from Daik Norma. No, that's not called Dover Sheish Matirin. Dover Sheish Matirin is only if I'm the one who can do a Taras Nedarim. Then it's in my hands to do. But if I need you to do a Taras Nedarim, who says you want to do a Taras Nedarim for me? Maybe you won't want to be nice to me. So that's called Dover Sheish Matirin. If you made a Nedar against me, that's Dover She'en Lo'atirin, even if it's not against me. I have to figure out the exact example, but let's say, I don't know, you had one can of tomato sauce, and you said, this can of tomato sauce, Konam, was ushered to everyone. And I happened to bring that can of tomato sauce home and mix it into my other tomato sauce, whatever, and I want to know if the bottle or not. So that's Dorsh Eimot here, because it's not up to me. I have to go convince you, and maybe I'll be able to convince you to do it Harsh Dharm. Maybe you'll say tough luck. Right? Maybe you'll be mean about it. And therefore, that's called Dorsh Eimot here. I know, but if in the mitzvah for you to be matzah, that's not called Dorsh Eimot here, because who says you'll do your mitzvah? Okay, I hear the Havmina, but the Achronim, Pesach Chuvah Yud, quoting the Brisa Avram, and the other Achronim say not that way. They say no. If I have the Shaila, it's my thing, I have the Shaila, and you're the one who can be Matarit, even if you have to be Matarit, since you might not live up to your obligation, then that's called Ein L'Matirin. I can't count on you to always do the right thing halachically. Right? I myself should always do the right thing. That's Yesh L'Matirin. I should do the right thing and be Matarit. But how do I know you're going to do the right thing? Not everyone always does the right thing. Sometimes people do the wrong thing occasionally. And therefore, since it's not in my power to make you do the right thing, that's called Ein L'Matirin. We'll come back to the interesting question in a moment is, what if Aaron makes a neder that something's usher for me and him? So like, for me, I don't have a way to be matured. For him, he does have a way to be matured. How do we view that? We'll come back to that in 5 minutes. Let's just do one halach in between. Something that will be mutter in the future, but then will be usher again. It'll never be permanently mutter. It'll go back and forth. We discussed the lumdus of this already. Chometz on Pesach. Chometz on Pesach. Does it have a matter? Yes. After Pesach will be mutter. But then it'll be usher again next Pesach. It has a matter, but it's going to cycle back and forth. It's never going to be completely mutter. So, lo mikri dovash yish matirin Mordechai, says the Mordechai, that's called ein l'matirin, because it's not going to be mutter forever. It's going to go back and forth. V'yesh cholkim azeh, and the Rambam says it's called dover sheyesh l'matirin. So, here we have Chametz on Pesach. Says the Mordechai, Ein lo matirin. The Rambam, certainly the common sense on the Rambam side. Chametz on Pesach, Yesh lo matirin, it'll be matir after Pesach for 358 days. Right? That's Yesh lo matirin. And the Rambam says, you know why we're so makor on Chametz on Pesach? That it's Asur B'mashu, it all starts by Dabar Sheish L'Matirin. Okay, why are we Machmer Bein B'miyum B'im She'enom? So then we add some Chumras. The Rambam says an important part of the Chumra of Chametz is that it's Dabar Sheish L'Matirin. But Mordechai says, no, Chametz isn't Yesh L'Matirin. Chametz is, especially since, well, Rabbi Yitam L'Chor also has to hold that, right? Because Rabbi Yitam holds Chametz on Pesach as Batal. That was one of the things he got in a little trouble for. People yelled at him for being too reformed because he was matir. Torah was chametz on Pesach, b'shishim, just like everything else. So he obviously, l'chora, he obviously held chametz. They called the Engel matirin. And likewise, the Mordechai wrote explicitly that, I think he's actually quoting Reb Chaim, the Baal Tosfos, that chametz on Pesach is called Engel matirin. Why? Because it's never going to be mutter forever. It'll always go back and forth, mutter, usser, mutter, usser, mutter, usser, right? I can freeze it, keep it in my freezer for 20 years, and it'll 20 years go mutter, usser, mutter, usser, mutter, usser. So that's called ein lo matirin. Okay, now, what's the nafgamina of the machlokes, Rambam and Mordechai? What isn't the nafgamina? What is not the nafgamina? Forget everything I said about Rabbeinu Tam, pretend you never heard that. What is not the nafka mina? Everyone who's grown up Jewish.
Whether
chametz and pesach
and batel.
Right, whether chametz and batel is not the nafka mina. Everyone agrees chametz and pesach is in batel. Everyone agrees chametz is also b'mashu on Pesach. Why? In two words? Chametz and pesach, chametz and chametz, yeah. So what's the nafka mina? Right? Likule alma. chametz b'pesach is aser b'mashehu bein b'mino bein shelo b'mino. Why? Mishom chumrat d'chametz. Right? Meaning, not to be a shmatirin. It's aser b'pesach even shelo b'mino, right? One drop of chametz get mixed with 100 pounds of chicken. This is, by the way, my simcholia. What were all the shilas in Europe? You cooked chicken, you cooked 20 chickens, you cooked a big pot of chickens, and when you open up the chickens, you find in the stomach of one of them a grain of wheat. Now, this whole pot is chametz, because there was one tiny drop of chametz in 100 pounds of lob amino of chicken, and it's all treif, it's all chametz dick. Okay, for details, I am Hilchus Pesach, meaning in Europe, this was a big chumrah, obviously. Nowadays, we cook our chickens without the stomachs. This doesn't come up.
It's only tam.
What?
It's only the tam.
Right, and even so, it's also on Pesach. Because on Pesach, we're machron everything. Right, forget it, don't shish matirin. Bein b'mino, bein she'ino mino, bein ta'am, bein mamashos. Everything's straight on Pesach. So clearly, they're not arguing about Pesach. So what are they arguing about? What's the nafkamina? So what's the nafkamina between them? What's enough to mean between the Mordechai and the Rambam? No, because after Pesach, what does everyone agree? Tarovas chametz after Pesach is mutter. Why? Because chametz shavur lo Pesach is only a knas, and they only made a knas on ben, not on tarovas. Okay, we have one option left at this point, fellas. What's enough to mean?
Before.
Before Pesach. Well, not during, not after, right? Last I checked, there are only three tenses. We're not going to need to perfect. Before, what did before Pesach? Before Pesach, I mean today. Today's before Pesach, but today, yeah, we don't care. Erev Pesach? After Chatzos. Okay, or maybe the hour before Chatzos. Right, Nafkamina. Erev Pesach. Mishesh Sha'os. And on. Shesh Sha'os V'mala. Erev Pesach afternoon, or technically from an hour before noon, we'd rub on it. Min bisha eino mino is clearly bata. Why? There's no chomer de Pesach in Erev Pesach afternoon. Chomer de Pesach is on Pesach, you chayev kareis. Erev Pesach, there's no special chomeres. Erev Pesach, we go by the normal rules. Erev Pesach, normal rules. Normal rules, min bisha eino mino is bata. If on Erev Pesach, so just some examples. If on Erev Pesach, for example, I accidentally cook I cook vegetable soup in an Eino Ben Yomo, in an Eino Ben Yomo chametz stick pot, it's batel, it's mutter, it's only Erev Pesach. If, better example, if on Erev Pesach, I cook vegetable soup, and accidentally, a bit of a chametz stick flour falls in, and it's less than a 60th, mutter. If on Erev Pesach I cook vegetable soup, and accidentally a piece of bread falls in, and I take it out, and I measure it's less than a 60th, mutter.
It's mutter on Pesach, because it was bata?
Yes, mutter even on Pesach, once it was bata before Pesach. Yes.
Does that mean that no point in buying specially packaged special Pesach meat to buy anything you want, but it's better with the veggies and the cuttlefish, or the area that's passed as a part of the future?
Right, the original reason why the minhag, it's before that was Pesach, is to only buy kosher for Pesach meat, was because in the barrel of salt, you might have dropped a speck of chametz in the barrel of salt. When you're in the middle of a chametz steak meal, you go to take some salt with your hand, and you might accidentally leave a few crumbs with your hand. When you then salt the meat, you might take a few crumbs with the salt and put it on your meat, and the crumbs might still be there. And if the crumbs are still there, then when you cook the meat on Pesach, the crumb is still there. It's not bottled, it's nicker. When you cook the meat on Pesach, the time of the crumb will after the meat. So that was the original reason why they were so macro in it. Nowadays, when that's not really a chash, worst comes to worst is, you know, what is worst comes to worst? Probably nothing. These factories, they don't really make chametz. Right, so. Well, no. If he cut it with a benyomo chametzdik knife, then it would be chametzdik. Perhaps. Get it without getting to machlokas. Right? Yeah, etc. Anyway, lemaisa, you're right. Lemaisa, you're right. It's there's not really a good reason why we're... There's not really a good reason why people are machmer on that. It's just because in addition to the halachic chomer de Pesach, there's a nervousness chomer de Pesach which is added on to it. But you're right. Okay, now, what the big machlokas? The big machlokas is, what about min b'mino? What about min b'mino? Min b'mino, you should know, is not so crazy. Let's say you go to bake Erev Pesach matzahs. You go bake Erev Pesach matzahs, and what happens? You're kneading the dough in the first nagla, that's like a round, and a tiny speck of flour gets stuck under your fingernail. Now, of course, if you've ever gone matzah baking, the first thing you do is cut your fingernail so that wouldn't happen. But let's say, even though he ever goes to a place they bake Erev Pesach matzahs, first thing you do is hand out a clipper and cut your fingernails to avoid that problem. But let's say, anyway, a tiny speck of dough got stuck under your fingernail. And it's been 20 minutes. Now the tiny speck of dough, more than 18 minutes, is chametz. And then you go in your third round, you make more matzahs, and the tiny speck gets mixed into a big piece of dough that's going to create 20 matzahs. It's one millionth of it. Okay? If this would be a regular matzah bakery, it's certainly not 100 for that to happen. I wouldn't spend money on a matzah bakery. They let these things happen on a chila. But it's a regular matzah bakery in Shvat and Adar. It's a heter gomer, one millionth is fatal. What about... actually complicated, but let's assume that for now. What about an Erev Pesach? Maybe one millionth is also min b'mino. That's the machlokes between the Rambam and the Mordechai. The Rambam would say, ain't no batal, it's gomer sheish l'matirin. And the Mordechai would say, batal. That's the machlokas Rishonim, Erev Pesach afternoon. If you have a tarovis of min b'mino. Okay, that doesn't come all the time. If you don't bake Erev Pesach matzahs, it's unlikely that it comes up. And this, by the way, everyone knows in the time of the Rishonim, many people baked Erev Pesach matzahs. How do we know that? Because many Rishonim hold your only yotze if you bake Erev Pesach achar chatzos. So, obviously, that's what they did. But this people of different minhagim nowadays about Erev Pesach achar chatzos matzahs. Some especially, not all Hasidim, because I know Hasidim, but a lot of Hasidim are Rebbes, and some Litvish also, are mahadir to bake Erev Pesach matzahs, because there are Rishonim who hold your only Yotze if it's baked Erev Pesach afternoons, so they want to be Yotze l'choladeos, so they're mahadir to bake Erev Pesach matzahs. In America, all the Rebbes bake Erev Pesach matzahs. The matzah bakeries, you know, anyone can go and bake all winter long, all spring long. And Erev Pesach afternoon, it's for very rich people in Chassidus Rebbes. It's a hinder to make Erev Pesach matzahs, because that's the only way to be Yotzei matzah l'choladeos. And some people have the minhag davka not to bake Erev Pesach matzahs. The have the minhag davka not to bake Erev Pesach matzahs, because Erev Pesach, it's an Isser Mashu Erev Pesach, according to the Rambam. You're not afraid that one speck of dough could sit for 18 minutes, become chametz, and get mixed in with everything else and make it all chametzdik? Well, you want to eat chametzdik matzahs at the Seder? And therefore, that's where the different minhagim come from. I know many people who have the chumrah of baking Erev Pesach matzahs, and I know many people who have family minhag that it's also to bake Erev Pesach matzahs. That's based on this machlokes between the Mordechai and the Rambam. How do we paskin? So the shach here is not so convinced, but the pshat of the mechaber in Siman Tov Mem Zayin in Orachayim, Hilchas Tavros Chametz, the pshat of the mechaber is that he says Erev Pesach is just like regular Yisurim, has no chumras, is like the Mordechai against the Rambam. The shachir tries to deny it, but most achronim over there, and the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha. Again, this is all Sif Beis. The Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha, Tuf Mem Zayin, Sif Beis, Dibur Masmul Chametz, Paskins, that We hold, like the Mordechai against the Rambam, that Chomei is called Eimu Matirin, and therefore on Erev Pesach, if this Tarovas Min Vimino, it is bottled just like regular Isurin. However, everyone agrees that the I saw in the Dir, should they point out, there's two other places randomly in the Mishnah Berurah and Chelek Hei, where he says, but lechatchila we try to be nizer for the Rambam. Lechatchila, what did he try to be nizer for the Rambam? Lechatchila, we avoid all tarovas. But lechatchila, we try to be extra nizer on Erev Pesach like the Rambam. That's why people bake Erev Pesach matzahs. They're more nizer than baking regular matzahs. They're extra nizer to be choshish for the Rambam. But b'diavad, we hold like the Mordechai. That's Pesach and Mishnah Berurah and Rov Achronim, even though the Shachir is not so. It is not so clear that he wants to be Makel. But he thinks that it's not so clear that I'm Machaber's Makel. But Lamaisa, we hold like the Mordechai, the Diyamid. But Lechatchila, we really try to be extra careful because of the Rambam. And if you go to a matzah bakery on your Gibel and on your Dalid, you'll see the difference between them is they always try to be Nizer from any Taruvis. Because you want to be Nizer from everything as much as possible, Lechatchila. But on Erev Pesach, the extra Nizer to be Choshesh for the Rambam, even though the Achronim Paskin like the Mordechai. I personally always had a sneaking suspicion, which I have not found in the Mishnah Berurah or in the modern day Poskim. I'm sure this must be in some of the Achronim. I always thought that we could be Makel on this for a better reason than the Mordechai. There's more obvious reason to be Makel than Chomitz Zayn Lamachirin, which is not for the Rambam, but the Mechaber Lushitase, the Mechaber implies in Hilchas Pesach that any taruvos of chametz, you're not allowed to keep over Pesach, you have to burn. That any taruvos of chametz, you have to burn. If any taruvos of chametz, you have to burn, then it's Eimu Matirin, because you're not allowed to keep it until after chametz when it's butter. You have to burn it right away. So if, in fact, the, but that's not what the Mishnah Berurah says. So I thought you could paskin lekula on the Shaila and say it's Eimu Matirin for a different reason. It's Eimu Matirin because if you waited until after Pesach, it would be butter, but you're not allowed to wait until after Pesach. Because of, not by your value, it's a bit of raisa, because of midrabanan, the isser of keeping the chametz around. But that's not what the Mishnah Berurah and everyone assumes. Sorry to get on that. Last halacha here is, lo mikri dover shish material, enen kem hutra lumisha nesar, vol nisha le'echo di olam, asar avgash shemotcha l'achirim, gunam vasha v'shabas, lo mikri dover shish material. It's only called Dover Sheish Lamatirin if it's going to be mutter to everyone. If it's going to be usher to some people and mutter to some people, that's not called Yesh Lamatirin. Truma is not Yesh Lamatirin, it's mutter for Kohanim. No, it's only Yesh Lamatirin, it's mutter for everyone. Now here we just get into one detail, which Wagner remembers from what he said. Right? That's what you meant?
I was thinking last year.
From last year, okay, even better, because we were much... We got into much more detail then. Okay. Last year, we were really eyeing in this a lot more, and then we briefly caught it in the morning seder recently. Or not so recently, a little bit ago. Mevashel b'Shabbos. Mevashel b'Shabbos, what does he mean? He means here, Mevashel b'Shabbos b'mezid. Right? Mevashel b'Shabbos b'mezid is usher for me forever. It's going to be mutter to you. Right? We're talking here about Mevashel b'Shabbos b'mezid. What's the halacha? We paskin aser lo liolam v'la'acherim ad motzei Shabbos. This is the Pesach in Or HaChaim. Therefore, for acherim it is yesh l'matirin. It'll be motzei motzei Shabbos, right? It'll be motzei motzei Shabbos, right? Not such a crazy case, right? Someone is not so makbid on Shabbos, so they see that the water in the urn is getting a little low, they add a little cold water to the urn, right? Maybe less than the 60th even, right? You stop them. They only add a little cold water to the urn. Now they cooked some water. So there's mostly kosher water in the urn. There's some water that was cooked and made on Shabbos. So for that person, it's usher forever. For the rest of us, it's usher till after Shabbos. So for us, it's Yesh L'Matirin. Lo, for the person who did it, it's Ein Lo Matirin. So, you might have a Hav Amina. What might your Hav Amina? What might your have amina be? Your have amina is that kevan shemutter la'acherim yesh lo matiren af limivashel atzmo shahare yachol la'achivo la'acherim. You might think, well, the guy who did it could just give the water to other people. So it's Yesh Matirin. Just give the water to other people for Shabbos. So therefore, even he can't benefit from it. Even it's not bodily for him. Kamash will know. Since for him it's usher forever, that's called Ein Lo Matirin. The fact you could feed it to someone else doesn't make it Matirin. Because I want to eat it. This is even better than the Rif's case. What, are you going to tell me because I give it to someone else? It's Yesh Matirin? But I don't want to give it to someone else. I want to eat it. Kamash Malan. For him, it's Ein Lo Matirin. Giving it to others is not a solution. Right? The fact that he can give it to someone else doesn't make it Yesh Lo Matirin. If I have something I could give to you who didn't make a neder, that doesn't make it Yesh Lo Matirin. If I have something I gave to a Kohen, that doesn't make it Yesh Lo Matirin. If I have something, etc., that doesn't make it Yesh Lo Matirin. Yesh Lo Matirin is if it's mutter for me. Not, okay. Now, what is a little ambiguous in this Ramah? The way I set it up? What is a little bit ambiguous?
If it becomes mutter for you, but not for other people.
Ah, exactly. Meaning, for him, it's Ein Lo Matirin. What about for Achirim? So what's the Pashup shot? What would you say? For Achirim? For him, it's Ein Lo Matirin. And what would you say to the Pashup shot? What would you think? I don't know. What would you think logically? For him, it's Yesh Lo Matirin. How about for other people? Oh, 1 second. Hold on. 1 second. Hold on. Okay. Sorry. I only said the chavasas. Let me try again. Ready? What about if they get mixed after Shabbos? So what's the difference if they get mixed after Shabbos? For him, it's Aser Liolam. For Achirim, it's Mutter. So, is it bottled for him? What's the answer?
On Shabbos or Shabbos?
After Shabbos. Is it bottled for him?
Yeah.
What? So the answer is yes. The fact that he can give it to other people is not called Yesh Lo Matirin. Just because he can give it to someone else is not called Yesh Lo Matirin. It's also for him forever. The fact that he can give it to his friends is not Yesh Lo Matirin. Because for him it's also forever. That's Ein Lo Matirin. That's what the Magen Avraham says the Ramban means. But let's go to the more interesting case. Okay, I apologize for only putting the Chavos Das on the board. What about if it gets mixed on Shabbos? Then, what's the din? For him, it's Aser Li'olam. For Achirim, it's Yesh Lo Matirin. For him, it's Aser Li'olam. For Achirim, it's Yesh Lo Matirin. So, What would you say in this case?
So, is it batel for other people? No. Yesh lo matirin. Is it batel for him?
What would you think? What?
Yeah.
Why? Because what? Lo yechol teniska, right? This is the ironic. Right? Back to this case where, you know, my not-so-firm friend, or my non-firm friend, put a little water in the urn. Now, we all can't drink any of the water in the urn, because it has tarubas of doji shmatirin. And my friend can. That would be very ironic, right? And he surely says, Shlo yechol teniska. Can't be the guy who did the avira should laugh all the way to the tea box, and the rest of us should go thirsty and cold. Okay, that's a svara. But on the other hand, technically, you might say, for him it's Ein Lo Matirin. This is a big machlokes summarized in the...
Which case did the Rambam refer?
Ah, okay, so hold this thought. Says the Magen Avraham, no, it's not buckle for him. Since Yesh Lo Matirin for Acherim, it's not bottle for anybody. And the Chavos Das says yes. For him, Ein Lo Matirin. And he's not worried about Shmuley's objection. This is a machlok between the Chavos Das and the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that he is a big chumrah. If he's yeshlo matirin for some people, it's yeshlo matirin for everyone. Going back to the Neder case. What if Aaron said, ah, this is asur hanah to everyone. It's yeshlo matirin for him and ein lo matirin for me. Magen Avraham would say, oh, it's asur for everyone because it's yeshlo matirin for Aaron. Right, so Magen Avraham is a big chiddush. If it's yeshlo matirin for some people, it's asur for everyone. Chavos Das says, no, each person has their own cheshbon. For some people it's Yesh Lo Matirin, for other people it's Ein Lo Matirin. So the Magen Avraham seems to say that you have one rule for everyone, while the Chavos Das says no. Everyone has his own rule. Basically, Chavos Das says something could be bottled for Reuben and not for Shimon. Because for Reuben it has no Matirin, for Shimon it has Matirin. Magen Avraham says, no. If it's Yesh Lo Matirin, it's not batel. Either it's batel or it's not. Once it's not batel, it's not batel. He could have said Shmuley's Ha'ara. But now, there's a lot of lumpness which we're not getting into, which Wagner can remind us of later. Zeb asked the important question, what did the Rambam mean? That's exactly the Machlokes. The Chavos Das says, that's exactly what the Rambam meant. The Rambam says, that's what the Chavos Das, that's the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant, it's talking about on Shabbos, where it's Yesh Lo Matirin for other people, but Ein Lo Matirin for me. Just because it's Yesh Lo Matirin for them, doesn't make it Yesh Lo Matirin for me. It's only Matirin for them, it's not Matirin for me. The Magen Avraham says, no.
Can you explain the Rambam that?
Rama's saying there's no din of Yesh Lo Matirin on somebody who doesn't Vashu B'Shabbos. That's what it says in the Rama.
The truth is that it's certainly possible, but we're not...
Possible, that's what it says.
I understood it that way also.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, one second, just... Let me just pause it. Magen Avraham says, the Rama's case was... after Shabbos. Asur forever for me, motor forever for you. A small chiddush. There's no Yesh Lo Matirin here, because whoever it's asur for, it's asur for, motor for, is motor for. But if it would be on Shabbos, since it's Yesh Lo Matirin for Acherim, it's Yesh Lo Matirin for everyone. the Chavos Das says, now I'm pretty sure the Chavos Das doesn't say the way Eli understood, although I did see that pshat someplace. I'm trying to remember where. And give me a second. Don't worry. Right, Kefet's not coming. We can go till Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis. And yeah, no, the Chavos Das is definitely saying what I'm saying. He says, said the Chavos Das, you know what the Rambam meant? He meant, if I cook on Shabbos, for me it's Ein L'Matirin, even though for you it's Yesh L'Matirin. Now there is a third possibility, if you want, you could say, since Ein L'Matirin for the guy who did it, and he's the main person, he's the one who's paying, since it's batel for him, it's batel for everyone else, because they're all tafel to him, because he's the Avarian. Okay, but that's not the Magen Avraham or the Chavos Das. Although I did see that once in the Achronim when we learned about Shabbos, but I don't remember offhand. I can't remember where. Okay, so halacha lemaisa. There are two ways of interpreting Ramah. Let's just review for a second. The Magen Avraham says it means something that's usher for me forever and mutter for you forever is ein l'matirin. Because whoever it's usher for, it's usher. Whoever it's mutter, it's mutter. Chavos Das has a bigger kiddush. Something that for me has ein l'matirin, but for you has yesh l'matirin. Is Yesh L'Matirin for you and Ein L'Matirin for me? And he splits the people. Against the Magen Avraham, who says you don't split the people and you go L'Chumra for both of them, Yesh L'Matirin. Or what Eli Foti meant, which is that you don't split the people and you're L'Kula for both of them, Ein L'Matirin, at least if the main person is the Ein L'Matirin. Yeah. Right? You wouldn't necessarily extend that to every case, but right. At least two cases like this. Okay.
Because then anytime anyone holds a Chumra, then you're not going to have a case.
Right. Yes, Eli.
This would be the same, like what Hokas would say, like they got the shame for Benner Sol versus
right, I mean, if you can find a good scenario. I'm not sure that you can. No, but that's the opposite. For me, it's Heter forever. For you, it's Yesh L'Matirin. That's not this case. So that's not going to work. Right, this is also in Nedarim, is quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva, the Sifkat Niyud, he quotes the same two deos. What if I make a neder that you and I can't have hanah? So for me, it's Yesh L'Matirin, for you, it's Ein L'Matirin. So he quotes the same two deos. Either since for me, it's Yesh L'Matirin, it's usher for all of us, it's not batel for all of us, or no, for me, it's not batel, for you, it is batel. He quotes the same exact machlokas there. Again, I don't think he brings down Eli's third dea, but Yesh L'Ayin. Okay. All right, that's about it for Simon Kuf Beis. Going on to Simon Kuf Gimel. Din nosei tam lefgam. Kol davar shetam o pogum eino osa tarovta. Where the bad taste does not answer the tarovas. Meaning, let's start with something with a really bad taste. I have a piece of ham that was left outside in the sun in August for 2 days and is rotten and disgusting and tastes bad. I accidentally drop it in my cholent, I'm not sure what the health department would say, but it doesn't make my cholent treif. But feeling tam pogumachos atzmo. Even if, in and of itself, it doesn't have a bad taste. Shivnasu mutum shubach. That actually is a good taste by itself. El shepogin tarovto. It just ruins the tarov. It's also mutter. Even if it's been good, let's say, I don't know, I have a kind of, I have a kind of Coke, and I accidentally mix in some treif milk, and now it's disgusting. Now you can't drink it. I have no idea if it would really be disgusting or good. I'm just making an example. Now it's gross, it's disgusting. This combination is just makes you want to vomit. Then it is mutter. Being base, he'll go even further. He'll say, even if it doesn't make it disgusting, it just makes it a little bad, it'll still be mutter. But before we get to that, before we jump into Kuf Gimel, we need to, I think this will probably be the last time in Hilchos Taruvos that we need to bring in some outside Makoros, because this gets into a very important sugya, before we get into Nosei Tam Lefgam. So, anyone know what the mukar of the heter of nosin tam lefgam is? How do we know what's the mukar in Shas in Chumash that nosin tam lefgam is mutter? Yes. Anyone?
Maybe the ashes.
we have some of this already by washing the thing.
No, that was an application. It's not the mucker. We're just saying the chumash doesn't have a gamas mutter. So before we're saying the chumash doesn't have a gamas mutter, it's actually a big machloter made of Shimon. We're not going to get into that right now. No, that was a question used to interpret clay midyan. That was that. That was the order was the opposite. Says the prima gadim, the first mishnah of zav. Hinei ze amamr tzur chakdama v'yaz yisparir. He knows in the gam the shari yolaf avur zardaf samaches amid aleph minavela. Okay, what does he mean? What's the makor? The chumash says vosochlu kol nevela. Anyone? Any balkoris here? Lagera shever shariacha titnena v'achala ol machor lenachriki amkados shasham etc etc. Right? Don't eat a nevela. It's treif. Give it to a ger to eat. The drash of that pasuk is, when is it a vela treif? Obviously, we don't mean a ger tzedek here. We mean a ger kosha, right? A ger tzedek, not a vela. Right? What's the drash of this pasuk? Which is a drash that's not rachok from the pshat. What kind of nevela is treif to eat? Then a vela that a ger tosha would eat instead of you. What the diok is, again, this is clearly a diok. It's not pshuta shal mikra, but it's a diok that's not far from pshuta shal mikra. That when did Hashem aser nevela on us? If we could sell it to a guy or give it to a ger toshav and other human beings would eat it. Meaning if it's edible to human beings. But if it was not edible to human beings, then maybe Hashem never asered it. I mean, I don't know why we'd eat it anyway, but just theoretically. This is called a Nevela haruya leger, kruya nevela, but nevela she'ena ruya leger, right? Is not called nevela. The phrase here is nevela she'ena ruya leger. Nevela she'ena ruya leger means food that's not edible to humans. Right? Food that's not edible to humans. Okay, on Pesach, there's some cases where we're machmir, even if things are not edible to humans, maybe as long as they're edible to animals, maybe even more so according to some shitas. And there's one funny Rabbi Akiva, noted Yehuda, who's machmir on all things, but the main shiur halacha is, forget about Pesach. Pesach, we're a little more machmir. Why are we a little more machmir on Pesach? Because what does the Torah say is treif on Pesach? Or the word sa'or. What does sa'or mean? What does sa'or mean?
Yeast.
Yeast, but not our kind of yeast, right? I mean, the kind of yeast we buy from the supermarket is made out of chemicals. And again, don't give me tamei mitzvos. I'm talking in technical halachic terms. And is not really chametz stick at all. Okay, it doesn't have hashgacha, so we wouldn't need it on Pesach. And we couldn't use it on Pesach anyway, because if we use it, it'll make something chametz. But that's not what the Torah meant by sa'or. It didn't mean the yeast you buy in the supermarket that's made out of chemicals. It meant, how did they make yeast in the old days before they had chemicals? Or, you know what I mean? Before they had chemistry? How did they get yeast?
Something gross.
Only a little. It's called sourdough, right? The first yeast. Yeast is actually like, it's a fungus, right? It's like there's little spores. How did they first invent chametz? I don't know. It was like before I was around in history. It was before, Parsha Shmos. I guess it must be that they replaced it. A lot of these fungus spores, when they made things, the fungus spores landed on things and made them into chametz. It was very delicious, and they said, hey, this is really great, but we can't count on it always randomly happening. So between, pre-Parsha Shmos, don't ask me how long before Parsha Shmos, right, between thousands of years ago and about 100 years ago, how did everyone, with the industrial, modern science, how did everyone make chametz? How did they get yeast? Well, once they had chametz, that just randomly happened thousands of years ago, and what they realized was, you take a loaf of bread that's chametz, and anyone know how to make challah? You ever bake challah? Right, you let it rise for a certain amount of time, right, generally more than 18 minutes, and then you bake it. What happens if you don't bake it? You just let it keep rising? It ferments and ferments and ferments, and what does something become when it ferments a lot? Sour, right? Like vinegar? It becomes sourdough. It's too sour to eat. It's not edible. But the fungus grew and grew and grew and grew, and it's concentrated chemicals of yeast. So what they would do is they would just let a loaf of bread over-rise and ferment. And now it was too sour to eat, but every little kazayas of it was yeast for a whole batch. And they would use it for a whole batch, and then when they used the last one, in that last batch they used it for, they would let one of the loaves rise and rise and rise and not bake it until it became sourdough. And they would pass on the Masorah, right? In the old days, people went out west, they brought their sourdough with them so that they could have bread wherever they go, right? Because they didn't know how to restart it. Okay, that's what Seor means, and Seor is not edible, and yet it's Aser anyway, so that's why in Pesach we're a little more machmer, because the Torah Aser even things that are not edible to a ger. A ger would never eat sourdough. Okay, the whole lundus of exactly how that worked, we mentioned briefly in the name of Aaron Cutler back in some Pesach in Ayin Shav. Now, let's get back to regular halacha. Okay? Here is my time a little in advance, Shloshim Yom before Pesach. Nivela she'en ori l'ger is mutter. That means food that's inedible to a person is mutter. That is the main shumsak that we hold like, okay, you want to see a slightly dissenting view, look in the Noda Yehuda. What does this mean? This means a dover pogum be'atzmo, right? What this means is a dover pogum, right? Meaning, eino ra'i l'achila is mutter. What's the extension of Siman Kuf Gimel? That's not what Siman Kuf Gimel about. What's the extension in Siman Kuf Gimel? The extension of Siman Kuf Gimel is not only a Dover Pogum is mutter, even a called Dover Shetamo Pogum in Osutarovto. Tamo Pogum might be something Pogum, like a rotten carcass, a rotten piece of pork. Even a Dover that's not Pogum Ba'atzmo, but it's no Saint Tam Lifgam, is also mutter. So this is then the second step of the drasha is even Dover Mushvach. Hanosei ta'am lifgam eino oser tarovto. Even if you're doing edible, but it gives a bad time to the tarovest, it doesn't make it oser. That's an extension. Before we get to that extension, I want to go on a tangent. Our time is short at this point of the year, but I think this is an important tangent. I just want to discuss a few makoros, because this is something that really comes up a lot in Lamaisa. Can you just do me a favor, take one and pass it down? Which is the question of, what about eating a dover pogum bi'atzmo? What about eating something that's not edible? Of course it's more pashut. So, what about achilas Devar Isser Pogum? So, let's go back to this Prebendim who says, V'ayim Mechaz Koin Perak Tes Mechelik Aleph Amesbar Medivere Poskin, the Nevel Shein Rulu Ger, Shein Nifsam Yehov Adam, Mutter Ben HaTorah, Nevel Shein Rulu Ger. That is not edible to a person. It's Mutter Ben HaTorah, Umid Rabbanan Aser. He quotes the Mechaz Koin with a tremendous Chiddush. It's Aser Mid Rabbanan. Tarovis, even if the majority is melted out of this disgusting thing, they weren't gozer to not make you lose the money of the heter. There's no esrabanan. If you eat something gross, it might be baltashaktsu, if it's like really gross, but there's no treif on it at all. Etc. And then he adds, of course, this is not referring to like cockroaches. Those, even though they're gross, are usher, because it's xeris akasur, that you're not allowed to eat bugs. So that goes that way. Okay, so, Yiddish of the Minchas Kohen, says the Minchas Kohen, usher midrabanan. Says the Prichadash, mutter gambe, ma baya. It's totally mutter. Again, if it's not a case of altashaktu, right, it's totally mutter. If you look on the sheet I give out, if you look on the sheet, I'm not going to go exactly in order here, look at Shulchan Aruch Siman, the fourth makor, Shulchan Aruch Kuf Nun Hei Sif Gimel, says, B'shari sorim nisraf makos sakana fil der hanasan. Any issur that's not gila rice and shul zaman avodah zara, you're allowed to heal yourself if you have sakana even the normal way. Shalom makos sakana der hanasan asur shloki der hanasan mutter. If you're cholish ain bo sakana, you can't use trait for isur hanasan the normal way, but in an abnormal fashion is mutter. Chutz b'klai karen basa b'cholav certain fish shloki der hanasan al makos sakana. Except for klai karen basa b'cholav, which are asur midaraisa even in an abnormal use, and therefore unless you're cholish isur sakana, you can't use it. Maybe it's only this or not drabbanan. That's fine, even for ainbo sakana. Even modern-day yainesek ministan yenom is only drabbanan, so you can bathe in it for a cholesh ainbo sakana, even though it's a normal way, as long as you don't eat it. Fine. The cholesh ainbo sakana zal yain gabe eish tafilu bari motu rechla milsu. For sure, if you need it first. Refuah, you can sprinkle it on the fire to get the smell, because reichel milsu and it's mutter even for a healthy person. Here's the line I'm looking for. Mutter lisuf sheretz or shagar isu. You can burn a sheretz or other treif, ula uplo refuah, and eat the ashes for refuah, afilu cholosh imbo sakana, even if you're imbo sakana, chutz mibi atzi avodas kochavim, except for avodah zara. Okay, what does he say? If you burn treif, now again, he's not the way Hanis Shraf. Certain things, chametz, if you burn it before Pesach, turns mutter, because gzeres and kalsa of teshvisu. He's doing that regular trait. You burn pork, you burn bugs, whatever. If you burn them, you can eat the ashes for refuah. Why? So, I think the Bechadish would say, well, now it's not edible anymore. Pash it is mutter. And probably Michutz Kohen would say, no, it's Asur Midrabanan, but this kind of Isur Drabanan is a light Isur Drabanan, and they matter it for a chola. Says the Yad Avraham on the bottom here in small print, mutter lisul sheretz v'shard v'ishul ochel refuah. The cost of a minchas Yaakov pal Memvav, the any of the minayin lo shasu lo refuah. Said Michas Yaakov, I don't know why it should be usher even without refuah. The habalav haki nifsa mechila, because it is not edible. The Michas Yaakov agrees with the prichadash. He says, looking for refuah, it's mutter stam. Once you make something inedible, it's totally mutter. I don't know why you'd want to eat it, but if you have a reason, then it's mutter stam. He forgot the rush in the second paragraph of Psachim. The rush in Psachim says chametz that you burn before Pesach is still usher to eat. Even though it was never chametz before you burned it. Says the rush. We learned this. Whoever was here for Psachim, no one. That was many years ago. Anyone was in Y, even in the second paragraph of Psachim, remembers this rush. Achshve says the rush. Even chametz that's inedible is still usher to eat. Midrabanan, because of achshve. Because if you eat it, you show that you think it is edible. Now, really, midaraisa butlas aitreitz kud. If I eat a stinking rotten food, stinking rotten piece of ham that's gross and everyone around is vomiting, and I eat it, midaraisa, it's mutter. Because I'm crazy, but the daigo is low, it's not edible. But midraban on the rush says, achshave, I'm declaring that it is edible by eating it. If I declare that it is edible, then for me, midraban and it's usher. The other one says, that's why it's usher to eat inedible foods. Because of achshave. So why is it mutter for refuah? The imkain hakanam gave a shirt sir if he lavel or fuh vada in latur bachila af shenif some yochel adam me how time in dabrim the achle achshevei rakshachel or fuh mutter to adlo shaykh lomer the achle achshevei the chol yom achir alav sheinu achle machnas chashivusa rak mishum refuah. He says very clever, says the Yad Avraham and most achronim based on the rush. He says aser Mishum Achshevei. It's usher midrabanan because of Achshevei. Because you've shown that you think it is edible. Ah, then what's the difference between refuah and not refuah? Is that a kula for refuah? It's not like, oh, for refuah will be makel. No. For refuah, it's heter gomer. Why? Because in refuah, there's no Achshevei. Everyone knows if I stand go eat something inedible, then I think it's edible. What if I eat something inedible because I'm sick and the doctor tells me to? I also admit it's inedible. I'm just eating it for refuah. Don't people eat strange things for refuah? All the time people do strange things for refuah. Right? Uvimakom refuah. Right? Mutter ki lo hekshivo. When I do it for refuah, I'm not showing that I think it's edible. I'm showing that it's worth eating inedible things if you're sick because it's a shasad chak. Just like all sick people do things that are unpleasant and that are not normal. Because whatever, you know what? Sometimes you have to suffer in order to get healed. So I'm not showing it's edible. I'm showing that I'm willing to suffer in order to get healed. Now, this is what, by the way, Rav Moshe says in the second book here. Berfuah she'ula yesh chash chimots, the refuah mitua, or a refuah that has a chash of chametz for someone who just had a surgery. So what does Rav Moshe answer in the second paragraph? Uvidvar refuah she'atasorach lichach gam bepesah v'adachosh she'ula yesh chametz chash chametz. He named came into the refuah sanitua shas ve'yirpnimi. Says since it's for a refuah for a surgery you had in your inner organs, then first of all, that's a stupid question. You just had a serious surgery. You had a serious surgery. You're a chol shi'ish v'lakana. You can eat chametz. But then he says, but really, even that sakana, there's no problem. Meaning, there's no problem. Medicines on Pesach. Dikvar nivtel kodo Pesach nim ochel. Because before Pesach was already inedible. The achve lo shayich dover shalom kerech refuah. And it's not edible. And there's no achshave if you do it for a fuah. That's where Mar Moshe not learn fuah. Because people even eat bitter and disgusting things for a fuah. So that's where Moshe says, that's the mainstream sack. The mainstream sack is that things that are inedible are really mutter except for achshave. And if you eat it in a way that's not achshave, then it's mutter. Now, how is this relevant? So obviously you see where I'm going. This is relevant for the issue of medicines. A lot of medicines have trace ingredients in them. Forget about chametz on Pesach. Even all year long, there are medicines with trace ingredients. Now, there are two kinds of medicines with trace ingredients. Some medicines are good to eat. Some medicines are good to eat, like they have these kids' medicines, right? Or sometimes they have these cough syrups that are good to eat, or lozenges that are good to eat. So medicines that are good to eat, there's nothing to talk about. Of course, you can't eat them unless you have hashgacha or you have some investigation that shows that it's not likely they use trace ingredients. Something's good to eat if you have a cough syrup or children's medicine that's good to eat and has glycerin in the ingredients, like many of them do, and glycerin is 50% is a suffix trace, then you can't eat it. If it's edible, nothing to talk about, unless you have sakana. So, if you're talking about medicine, right? If it tastes good, then it's usur if it might have trace ingredients. Then the fact that, unless you have sakana, right? Then you can't just buy any cough syrup. That's pasha. You can't just buy any kid's medicine that's sugary sweet. Because all sugary sweet things might be trace, because they might be made of, they're often made of glycerin, which is a serious clash of trace. And if it's good to eat, then it's good to eat. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're really looking at. That's a big problem. It's not even clear why you can give kids medicine. But, okay, so we're making on giving kids sweet kids medicine, even if it might be trace, because if we need it for their health, so therefore there are many makoros that for the health of kids, we're allowed to feed them things, even if it might not be normally much of adults I'll be dead. But, let's say we're talking about adults, certainly, you know, and it's a, okay, the whole discussion, maybe it's Chatzi Shir, and it's a Tom Ikker is not so clear if it's been a Torah or not, so it's not exactly clear exactly what level of Isser it is, and if it's some in-between level of Isser, and if necessary for the health of a kid, then we know that we have precedent that you can be Mako for health of little kids on, some Isserim. But I'm not talking about adults. If something tastes good, you can't have it without you can't eat it without Ashkacha, nothing to talk about. It's a no-brainer. Question is, what about most medicine which tastes bad? If it tastes bad, what about most medicine that tastes bad? So if it tastes bad, then this gets into a tremendous, tremendous issue in the Mishnah. Right? What's the din of bad-tasting medicines that might have treif? Right? Or that for sure have treif. Sometimes there are medicines that for sure have treif. Right? You have things that, I don't know, you know the active ingredient is made from treif.
We're talking about the dover. Is there enough
calm? Yeah, we're not talking about we're not talking about this anymore.
Because it's not bato.
What?
It's not bato. There's so much of it.
Often, often the treif, it depends what, but often the treif is not batel.
But if it was just a teeny percent, then even a good taste.
Correct. Like that happens sometimes with like, there's some pills that have magnesium stearate or something, which might come from like animals, which is just like some sort of binder or something, if I'm not mistaken, and that's usually less than a 60th. So then that's not a problem. Right? We're talking about where the main ingredient is treif. So what are the main ingredients is treif? So
doesn't have to be defined first as something that's food.
What?
I mean, you're assuming these things are defined as food.
Why
are they defined as food? You're not eating it from the tree.
It doesn't matter. You're eating it.
Who says that's eating it?
Okay, good. We'll come back to that in a moment. Okay? Sorry. There are two studying by which to judge this. There are two potential heterim, each of which has complications. What are the two potential heterim? If you will forgive a little brisker language, chetza and gabra. One potential heter is mitzad hachetza. It is nevela she'ena ru'uya l'ger. Nevela she'ena ru'uya l'ger, mitzad hachetza. Is that so pashut? So, there are two reasons why, there are a few reasons why it's not pashut. Right? The potential problems are, number one, maybe it's achshavei if you take it for medicine. Right? There's a famous Shagas Aryeh who says that medicine is achshavei. Right? Refuah. There's a famous Shagas Aryeh who says, if you take something refuah, that's achshavei. Against the other achronim. It's a minority shita. Shagas Aryeh says refuah is achshavei. Although, we're not so choshish for him. And there's a Rav Moshe who's quoted as saying vitamins are achshavei. Why are vitamins achshavei? Because you're not doing it for refuah, you're doing it for nutrition. Nutrition, that's achshavei. Here it gets a little tricky. But and the shame of Moshe, they say that vitamins equals achshavei. Right? What do you mean by vitamins as opposed to refuah? Refuah is something which is not something you get in food, which is only for sick people. That's not achshavei. Vitamins is something you're supposed to eat in your food, but you're taking a pill because you don't eat those foods. So that counts as achshavei because it's instead of a food. So dietary supplements, according to the law that they're just dietary supplements, might be a problem according to this Rav Moshe, but since we really know that dietary supplements are not actually dietary supplements, most of them are medicine. I mean, depends which. Dietary supplements that are vitamin A could be a problem with achshavei. Dietary supplements that are like, you know, like really just medicine, they call them dietary supplements so they won't be regulated by the FDA, so then that would not be a problem of refuah. The second potential problem with...
Is his sore is that it could be found in food or that it's not being used for food?
No, is that it's instead of food. Actually, this Moshe is in these ones, just forget where it is. Is that it's instead of food. Something that's instead of food. Okay, a second potential problem is there's a famous Chavos Das. The Chavos Das says that Eina Ruya L'Ger means it itself is not edible. But if it's just mixed with other things that are bitter, then that's called Ruya L'Ger. And in pills sometimes, the treif ingredient is perfectly good to eat. It's just put in pills with bitter things so that kids don't take too many of them. You know, for safety reasons, they put in a bitter pill. But the kosher ingredient itself is perfectly mutter. So that's the Chavos Das. The Chavos Das says, A, Dover Moshvach Hame'urav Im Dabar Pagum is called Re'uya Leger. Why? Because it itself is edible. It's just mixed with other things that are inedible. And the, however, the many Achronim say, first of all, this Chavos Das is a bit of a chiddush, and many of the Achronim say this Chavos Das is only true when you can like separate them. But in a pill, like you can't separate the different ingredients anymore, they're mixed forever. So therefore, not everyone agrees with this Chavos Das, but many poskim say that the Chavos Das only applies when you could separate it. Basically, what the Chavos Das says is if you take like bitter stuff and pour it into perfectly good like Arla orange juice. Well, actually, that's a bad example. If you take like herbs and mix them into your orange juice and then drink it, that's still called Re'uya Leger. The orange juice is still good. It's just the herbs in it are no good. So, those many people are chosesh and say, this means that whenever you have a pill, usually the trade ingredient is perfectly good. They just add bitter things for safety, so kids won't eat them. So therefore, according to Chavos Das, this is still considered Re'uya Leger. It's just together with bitter things, but in itself is Re'uya Leger. But some people say, no, once you make it into a pill, it all becomes, it's all melded into one piece. It's melded into one piece, now it's not Re'uya Leger anymore. And the third reason to hesitate is the Mincha Shlomo that's on the sheet, says the Mincha Shlomo, says Yesh harbe trufos da'af shesam ha'trufa mar ma'at, mikom makom efshad lochoshim kein roi l'machal odom, mipnei zeh, shanachim funokim. Says there are many things that aren't so good to eat, but maybe we're just spoiled. Maybe it's still Re'uya Leger, we're just spoiled. Shahari Mashkashen really shtias on his example is scary. Mashkashen really shtias on the name of Kabbalah's Toma, Gaming of Machshir, Rafilo Hakintan, Apostle Rama, and Perth Yudmi, Thomas Ochlan Ochabesha, Yotim and Ozim and Achotim, Mary Glein, so many other men don't make Tanam Hashimi Mashkin, Barim told us Amayi, and Vish Odumos Lakach. Says, after all, Mashkin that are not Roy Lashtia are not Makabal Toma. But the Rambam says that things that come out of your ear and your nose and the meiraglayim of people are mekabel toma and are kites of water. So he obviously thinks they're considered drinkable. So obviously, even things that aren't so good are considered edible. We just must be spoiled. Okay, this is a mystery, meaning since when is meiraglayim drinkable? Right? It's a. Are we really spoiled that we don't drink meiraglayim? I mean, so. But what Shlomo Zalman is saying is that obviously it's very complicated. It's hard to know where to draw the line. Maybe our kinds of pills and medicines, are they really inedible? Or are they just not so good to eat? You know? So, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, 3, the Mincha Shlomo. He says, maybe it is edible, and we are spoiled. Maybe we just call everything inedible because we're spoiled, but really it's just as edible as meiraglayim. Okay, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says, "Lachin eshet shrikim libdo ketev kol sog ladas and nechashik irubot varmar apostmi for this adam." Maybe you have to check each thing, and it's very unclear where to draw the line. Lemaitza, we think we have a heter gover for refuah of ein Re'uya Leger, but it's not so pashut. Because A, the Shagas Aryeh holds medicine counts as Achshavei, even though it's against Ramosha and against the Yad Avraham, okay, he came before them, against almost all the Achronim. And with vitamins, even Ramosha holds that it's considered Achshavei. B, the Chavos Das says, it's not clear if it means our case. When you just mix good and bad things, the good things are so-called Roi L'Achilus Adam. Just because they're mixed with bad things doesn't make them not Roi L'Achila. So maybe here also the traits in the medicine is Roi L'Achila, it's just mixed with bitter things. And 3, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, yeah, the pills are better, but that's all Roi L'Achila, we're just spoiled. So L'maisa, even though really we don't hold like, we don't have to hold like these chumras, it's not pashut that it's mutter mitzad the chefza. Of course it's the second heter is Mitzad Hagavra, Zev Kahana. Tell me what the second heter is that we already mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Besides it being not edible, what are you doing? You're eating it. Shalom Derech Hanasa. Right? Achila shelo kederach hanasan. You're obviously eating it in an abnormal way. Okay. You're eating it in an abnormal way. So maybe it should be mutter because you're eating it in an abnormal way. This gets into a big shaila.
Why is it abnormal how you're eating it?
Aha. Why is it abnormal how you're eating it? Good. So what are the problems? I mean, this doesn't seem to be the normal way to eat like pork or something. Potential problems are number one, the Achiezer says swallowing pills is kederach achilasan, even bitter pills. That is the derech achila. How do you do achila? You swallow things, right? Don't tell me because you don't chew it, it's not kederach achila. Everyone knows, bala matzah yotze. If you don't chew your matzah and you don't have good manners and you swallow your matzah without chewing, you're still yotze. So, but most poskim disagree and say no. The normal way is that something has a normal, is like a normal kind of food that people would eat. When you swallow a bitter pill, that's considered an abnormal way of eating. The second problem is that the many achronim say that for example, the last mucker here, I'm not going to read it inside. The Chachmas Adam says that Shelo Kederech Hanasan is mutter only for a chole, but not for Meichos B'Alma, right? We know from Hilchos Shabbos that not everyone who says they need a pill is a chole. Some people are just a little uncomfortable, right? So maybe Shelo Kederech Hanasan, the Mechaber says mutter for a chole. He didn't say it's mutter for everyone, right? So here, so maybe this Heter Shelo Kederech Hanasan will work for a chole, but it won't work for Stam Tylenol for something Shelo Kederech Hanasan. Here, I'll just continue up here. But A, the Chachzanim called the Shach, and others, even those minority, hold that Shelo Kederech Hanasan is mutter for anyone, even though that's a minority shita. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, back to that Mincha Shlomo, and Mincha Shlomo says, in this one he says, V'bar etzli ma'gedesh al-chole. He says, maybe whoever doesn't feel well is a chole. On Hilchos Shabbos we say, if you just have a headache, you're not a chole. That's because Hilchos Shabbos, they mean a special gzir against refuah. Half the gills are in something, so the gills are against just headaches. But in Hilchos Kashrus, maybe any headache is a chole. Says, maybe any meichosh is called chole in Yoredeya. In Orachayim, a meichosh is not called, is also to take a pill. In Hilchos Shabbos, yeah, because they happen to be gozer on something, so their gozer on a meichosh. But in Yoredeya, maybe anyone doesn't feel well is called a chole, so it's mutter. That's where Shlomo Zalman the end says, I don't like to be mater mitzad the chefza, because maybe we're just spoiled, but I'll be mater mitzad the gavra, because Woke there for nothing is mutter for a chole, and maybe whoever doesn't feel well is a chole. Okay, halacha l'maisa, what comes out of this? I know I've succeeded in confusing you, but these are the main issues. I don't think I've skipped any of the important issues. There are two ways you can be matir. You could say, forget about the gavra, the chet is kosher. But you have to deal with achshavei, you have to deal with the chavos das, and you have to deal with Shlomo Zalman saying we're spoiled, and his raya, very strong raya, although confusing raya. It's so strong a raya that you got to wonder how it could be. But it's definitely confusing raya. Or you can say, forget the chetz, it's mutter inside the gavra, you're eating Shlomo Kederach Hanasan. Okay, but you have to assume against the Achiezer that a bitter pill is called Shlomo Kederach Hanasan. The Achiezer says, if you swallow it in your throat, that's derech. No. And you have to get around the fact that what if the guy's not a chola? What if he's only a little sick? And then Rav Shlomo Zalman said, the Shach's only a little to be summoned on, because that's a minority shita. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, maybe even if someone's a little sick, they're called sick for these purposes. Halacha l'maisa, what does this mean? Halacha l'maisa, what does this mean? Again, if you have medicine that doesn't taste good, So clearly, the best thing l'chachila is just to get medicine that doesn't have trace ingredients and solve the whole problem. However, that is not always practical. There might be some medicines that are only made from treif, although that's pretty rare. There might be other medicines that the only one available for you to get is made from treif. Or, most likely scenario, there's medicines that you never know exactly what it's made of, and it doesn't, you can't know. You go to the pharmacy and you get it, and you can't know if it's made from treif or not. So, most stam pills are not made from treif anyway, so it's not a big deal. Like antibiotics and things like that in pills, generally don't have treif ingredients. It's not shtiach. The sweet ones have treif ingredients. It is shtiach, unfortunately. But regular pills usually don't have treif ingredients, so it's not a big deal. However, what if you do have a medicine that does have treif ingredients? What if you do have a medicine that does have treif ingredients? So then, lemaisa, if you do have medicine, let's say you know it has treif ingredients, then lemaisa, there's still room to be makel. For sure, if your whole leather is room to be makel, because then you really have a much stronger heter of shaloka derech hanasan, plus probably a heter of nevelish in uri lager. So for a chola, a real chola, for sure you have room to be makel. Even for a mechosh bi alma, even if someone's only a little sick, then we could still be makel, because mitzad achetza, even though there are problems, pashas we paskin that it is nevelish in uri lager. And even if Rosh Hashanah Zalman says ruya, mitzad agavri says mechosh bi alma counts as a chola and it's okay. So halacha lemaisa, clearly there's enough reasons that it's better to avoid treif ingredients if possible. If you can't avoid treif ingredients, then in stam a guy gets penicillin. I don't think there's anything to worry about, because they don't usually put treif ingredients in penicillin pills. Maybe some stearate, but that's less than a 60th. Certainly not more than a 60th. Even if you have to take medicine that you know is treif and tastes bad, still, there's what to be making, but say rough, it's probably nevelishin ruligare. And even if you're machmer in that, it's a heter, it's a loka derech hanasan, then we can still be makel. Okay, that was a bit of a tangent, but it's something that really does come up a lot in halacha lemaisa. What we will pick up with next time is really get into and finish Siman Kof Gimel. What you might have noticed, I apologize for going so late, is that I said a few times tonight that that we have to like speed a little. Okay, it's coming close to the end of the year. We have a lot more halacha left, so we're going to have to speed a little more over the next couple of months, and not go into as much iyun as we might like to. But we'll try to just ratchet up the speed a little without sacrificing too much quality, and get through things in Seder, and just make sure you're a little longer. Next year, by hook or by crook, we are going to finish Siman Kof Gimel on Tuesday. What? The sheet I just gave out? No, it's the sheet here. Hey, you know what? Put a few in the box in case anyone needs.
So I have to apologize for your eating his words and interrupting.
Right, Kepa asked Wagner to cut me off at the regular time,
right,
and he was afraid to.
For the Seder Talmud.